All right, we're going to start a little bit in 2 Timothy, but actually the main theme this weekend is two. We're going to talk about burying the dead and then also All Saints versus Halloween, okay? But we're going through a series in 2 Timothy, and so I wanted to do a little bit of that as well with you because we love going through Scripture. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And just remember, again, any verse of the Bible, sometimes you can just take one verse and just meditate on it or let the Lord speak to you and just strengthen you. So even just this first verse, it says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Right? Couldn't you just meditate on that for days? Right? Just let that strengthen you and nourish you for days. So again, you could easily just stop there. Now, I'm going to keep going, but the point of this is not to go through it as fast as I do, but to just give you places so you can dwell and be nourished. All right. And it says, "What you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Okay, and we talked about that a lot last week. You can listen to the homily. "Take your share of the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier on service gets entangled in civilian affairs, but his aim is to satisfy the one who enlisted him." So St. Paul goes on here to give several examples, saying those of us who follow Jesus, we're like a soldier. We only care about what our general is saying. He says we're like an athlete. We only care about training and following the rules so that we can win the game. He says we're also like a farmer. We just persevere no matter what's going on. We just keep going. And so these great examples. So again, all Christians, you're like a soldier. You're like an athlete. You're like a farmer. And so, you know, don't let an athlete, just a natural athlete, you know, be more disciplined than you, right? They're just trying to win some kind of race to get a trophy. You know, you should be disciplined in your life so that you're gaining eternal life and being filled with the Holy Spirit and, you know, being healed and overcoming and, you know, all these great things. Okay. Another powerful verse, he says, "But the word of God is not chained." He says he's chained. He's writing from prison. He says, "But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect." Right? Again, what a powerful verse. Okay, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of Jesus. I endure everything for the sake of bringing the message to others. Right? I'm sure you're enduring lots of things. Tempted to discouragement sometimes. But just, okay, with St. Paul, I endure everything for the sake of persevering. All right, then we get to this beautiful phrase here. It says, "If you've died with him, you shall also live with him." Right? Certainly that means baptism. "If we endure with him, we shall also reign with him." Right? Lots of positive. Although it reminds us, though, if we deny him, though, that he will deny us also. And Jesus tells us that many times. But in the midst of it, because he knows we're not perfect, and if we are faithless, he remains faithful. So even if we are faithless, or even those times when we aren't faithful to him, he is always faithful to us. And that's actually what gives us the courage and the desire to be faithful to him at all times, is that he's faithful to you all the time, even in the midst of our unfaithfulness. So that's why we keep persevering and keep going. And confession's always available if you need it in big ways. He says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, as a workman who has no need to be ashamed." Right, so we're just always trying to just follow him and just we're pleasing him because of what Jesus has done for us, because of our faith, but we still try to follow him and obey him because the scripture says that you love, how do you know you love the Lord? By obeying his word, right? So we do all we can to obey him as a sign of our love. He goes on, and he says, "Watch out for, you know, all a bunch of this godless stuff." And again, he mentions a few other people specifically by name, Hymenaeus and Philetus. He says specifically, these two guys, they're off track. They've gone wrong. Don't listen to them. And so he says, but God's firm foundation stands. So bearing this seal, the Lord knows who are his own. And going on, if anyone has purified himself, he is consecrated and useful to his master of the house, ready for any good work. All right. And then number two. So now you get two. So it was 2 Timothy 2:2. Now you get 2 Timothy 2:22. Ready for this one? Okay. And this is especially for the young people. Now there's a lot of good things about being young. The Lord loves the young. You're full of zeal. You have a lot of hope generally. You have a lot of energy, a lot of optimism. There's a lot of good things about being young. In fact, Jesus tells us to be like children, right, to enter the kingdom. At the same time, 2 Timothy 2:22, shun youthful passions and aim at righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. So he also reminds us to shame or shun, which means get rid of, youthful passions. So what can that mean? All the desires that young people have to be satisfied immediately, all the desires that young people have to have a tendency towards laziness, they have a tendency towards selfishness. When they get of a certain age, they have a real tendency towards all the immoral stuff, getting drunk, getting high, getting promiscuous, all those things, right? So again, that can be in everybody. And so he's just saying, hey, that stuff that might be in you also, to not do that stuff, but to focus on the Lord. So again, it's a combination. We want to be childlike, which means innocent and joyful and grateful, but not foolish in the way some young people can be foolish, right? And I know many old people who say, wow, I was foolish in my youth, right? So I'm not picking on young people, and neither is the scripture, but many people end up being foolish in their youth. So again, it's just a reminder, okay, let me not be foolish in my youth. Let me be wise in my youth. And remember, Timothy is a young guy. Remember that? Timothy, he's a young guy. So that's why Paul's just, in the early, he said, don't let anyone look down on your youth. But also he's saying, but don't get caught up in the junky stuff that a lot of young people get caught up in. All right, and we'll actually talk a little bit more about that later today. Okay, anyway. All right, I talked about that longer than I meant to. And here we go, the last verse here. And as the Lord's servants, you must be kindly to everyone, to teach, apt to teach, to forbearing, and correcting with opponents with gentleness. So, all right. So anyway, so you get a little bit 2 Timothy. Let me get to my other topics tonight too. So again, hopefully just enjoy the four chapters of 2 Timothy for the next 4 weeks. So, all right. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about, this is actually something Father Anthony and I realized a few months ago. We're like, hey, there's a few topics we need to talk on, and so we just picked this weekend, and I admit, I forgot to print out half of my version, so I apologize for reading it off of my phone, but I'm going to do that just so I can be real accurate here. But the first thing is about the importance of burying the dead. And the reason why I'm going to talk about that in October is because November 1st is All Saints Day, and November 2nd is All Souls Day. Right, we remember our beloved dead. We remember all those who are in heaven, and the world is kind of like in their pre-Halloween thing, and so they're kind of doing weird stuff around the concept of death, anyway. And so we just want to make sure we've got clarity on the truth around some of these issues. So, all right. So let me just read this little part, then we'll get to talk about the holiday. All right. So we're going to clearly explain why the church teaches that we actually bury the dead. And I'm just focusing on, there's lots of weird things that people try to get to do with bodies of people once they're dead. And we just want to let you know, what do we do as Catholics? Okay? That's all we're doing here. So why the church teaches that we must bury the dead, or when cremation is chosen, that we still treat the ashes with the same reverence as a body. And why we must not do strange things with the ashes, such as scattering them, dividing them, or turning them into jewelry or other trinkets. All right, the church's position is firmly rooted in sacred scripture, sacred tradition, the catechism of the Catholic Church, the code of canon law, and even in 2016, there was another instruction that came out from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. So theological foundations, basically it's this simple. Your human body has inherent dignity. Your body is valuable. Your body is good. You are part of your body. You are the one creation that has body and soul with an immortal soul, right? So you are valuable, and that your body is going to live forever. That's what we believe in, the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus has proven that to us because he rose from the dead, and he has a resurrection body, and he lives forever. And he says, anyone who dies in me will have the same. He also says, those who die without him, they'll still have resurrection bodies, but resurrection towards torment. So we want to be focused on the resurrection of the body in the good way. And again, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. So your body is really good, okay? So don't listen to any junky stuff that tells you your body's not good. I don't care if it's a little overweight, or if it's not as tall as you wanted, or it's not as muscular as you wanted, or it's not as whatever. All that's a bunch of garbage. Your body is good, and it's going to last forever. And so we need to treat your body with dignity and love always, And everyone else needs to treat your body with dignity and love always. Okay? That's the Catholic way. All right. So the church teaches that the body is not disposable, even after death. It shares in the dignity of the person and is destined for resurrection. The resurrection of the body professed in the Apostles' Creed, right? We say, I look forward to the resurrection of the body. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead, right? We say that. We're looking forward to it. It means that our bodies will one day be raised and glorified. This truth demands respect for our bodily remains, okay? So Catechism number 2300 says, the bodies of the dead must be treated with respect and charity, in faith and hope for the resurrection. The burial of the dead is a corporal work of mercy. It honors the children of God who are temples of the Holy Spirit. Right? So the corporal work of mercies, if you're not familiar, that's things like feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and giving homes to the homeless and sheltering, you know, those who need it. And one of them is also burying the dead. Okay? Burying the dead. That's a corporal work of mercy for them, which they are due. And even if they're not baptized, every person, they deserve to be treated because their body, again, their body's going to raise. All right, so what does church law say about this? So Canon Law 1176 says, the church earnestly recommends that the pious custom of burying the bodies of the deceased be observed, which means the whole body. However, nevertheless, the church does not prohibit cremation unless it was chosen for reasons contrary to Christian doctrine. So again, burial is always the preference, the full body burial, that's the preference and has been forever. But cremation is permitted as long as the cremation is not done as a sign against the faith. So if you got somebody and they're like, oh, I don't care about my body, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to go back in the universe, just cremate me. That's a blasphemy, right? That's an offense against God. Because no, you don't just get united to the universe, whatever. But if someone says, hey, I'm a really faithful Christian, but for whatever some serious reason, we're going to do cremation, but I believe in the resurrection, I'm hoping in Jesus, I'm trusting in, then the church says that's permitted. Does that make sense? Okay. And the reason why that distinction has to be made is because pagans burn their bodies, and they always have. That's what the pagans have always done. The pagans say the body doesn't matter, just burn it. So that's why Christians say, no, that's not us. That's not our way. We honor the body. But it can be permitted. So, okay, all right. Burial is the normative practice in Catholicism because it best reflects the belief in the body's future resurrection and honors Christ's own burial. It's also one of the things. So, you know, we had a funeral this week, and we went and buried somebody. Jesus might come back tonight, you know. Right? So we might as well just have the bodies ready to be raised, because he might come back tonight. So that's part of it. But also, Jesus himself was buried. So we want to imitate him in death, right? We imitate him in life, we imitate him in death. All right. Cremation is permitted but never required, by the way. And when it is chosen, it must be for a serious, legitimate reason and not as rejection of the faith in the resurrection. Okay. Pretty clear? All right. Here's one last piece here. So cremation and the treatment of ashes. Ashes must be buried in a sacred ground. They must be buried. So again, we don't have lots and lots of problems with people doing weird things with bodies and coffins, because bodies and coffins get buried. The problem is we have lots of problems with people doing weird things with people's ashes. Okay? So let's try to correct this. So again, this is from 2016, the document called Ad Resurgitem Cum Christo, from the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. The ashes of the faithful must be laid to rest in a sacred place, that is, in a cemetery. Okay? And the instruction affirms that ashes must be treated as if they are the body, because they are, with solemnity and reverence. It is forbidden for Catholics to scatter ashes, to keep them at home, to somehow divide them among the family, or incorporate them into bizarre objects like jewelry or art. All of that is prohibited. Pagans do those things. Catholics do not. We don't scatter ashes. We don't keep ashes at home. We don't divide them among the family members. And we don't incorporate them into other objects. Those are all prohibited. Okay? And the If you don't believe we live in a pagan world, just go to any funeral home and ask them what your options are to do with ashes. You can turn ashes into a bowling ball. You can turn ashes into little fake diamonds and wear them around your neck. You can take ashes and make them into weird art. Some people take ashes and do them in tattoos. You can do all kinds of crazy pagan stuff with ashes because we live in a crazy pagan world. Okay? But we are not of this world. We are Christians. We are Catholics. We honor the body even if the rest of the world hates the body. Because we love. That's the difference. It says, why are these practices prohibited? Here's a few reasons. The church rejects these practices because they fail to show due reverence to the body, and they reflect pantheistic or secular ideologies, such as becoming one with nature or keeping the dead close to us in an unchristian sense. They can obscure the Christian meaning of death, which looks towards the resurrection and the communion of saints. Again, in order that every appearance of pantheism or naturalism or nihilism be avoided, it is not permitted to scatter the ashes of the faithful departed in any way, the air, the land, the sea, or in some other way. Okay, now let me just step away from my text here for a second. So the issue is, again, the body is good and it's going to be raised again, so we keep the bodies together. And it's, as it said, there can be these pantheistic or secular ideologies that can get into when people lose someone. And if you're not rooted in Christ, the loss of a loved one can destroy people's kind of psyche. Okay? And we still try to help people in the midst of that. But if you're rooted in Christ, even when a loved one dies, you know you're okay. Because your whole life didn't just get taken away from you. It's just simply someone you love, and your whole life is actually in Jesus. Okay. But what happens is, for whatever reason, if people lose someone and they're not able to, I just hear this all the time. I hear, I just can't part with so-and-so. I'm not ready to part with them. I'm going to hang on to the ashes. I'm going to keep them at home, or I'm going to keep them on the fireplace, or we're going to keep them in the closet. So first of all, those are all places where they can be stolen. Those are all places where they can be broken. Those are all places where they can be lost or damaged. Right? Violations of those human beings. So I understand, and the church and Christ understands, you miss your loved one. I get that. But you hanging on to a little bit of their body isn't actually making you closer, because the reality is the communion of saints. Right? Now, we honor the bodies, and yes, it's special to have the bodies in burial places, and you can kind of go and visit the bodies in a special way, and that's true, but really, the communion of saints is, you don't have to have the body next to you, you just pray, relate to all those that are in heaven, right? So there's a closeness of you, the communion of saints. So it's a superstitious act to say, well, I've got to have grandpa on the mantle because I want to feel close to him. Do you see how that's not Christian? The Christian says, hey, I pray, or I go to Mass, and all of heaven is present at Mass. That's where I encounter grandpa. Or I want to honor his body instead of just me being like a lord over his body or something like that. So again, the simplest way to think about it too is again, we don't have this problem when there's caskets. We don't have people that say, I'm going to take the casket home and I'm going to leave it in the dining room for 6 months. And why don't people do that is because they actually realize this is a body right here. I don't want to do that with the body, right? That's not right. That's not fitting to have in the house. And again, but when cremation destroys the sign value of the body, they start doing all kinds of weird stuff with the ashes. Which is another reason why the church says don't do cremation. Because you lose the sign value. It doesn't look like grandma anymore when it's in the tiny little box. It still is, in a sense, but it doesn't look like it. All right, now I'm trying to be gentle. I feel like I'm coming off stronger than I want to be. I don't want to come off strong here. But I'm trying to clarify. So, and especially, again, especially young people, like, have it in your mind forever that We don't scatter ashes. We don't do, and again, this is in all the movies, and it's in the video games, and it's all the pagan sources of paganism, is they've got all these weird, you know, we're going to put the ashes with the dog, and we're going to mix, we're going to, all that insane stuff. You just say, hey, someone I love died. It's really sad. The Holy Spirit is the consoler. I have the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be okay. So I'm going to simply bury the dead as an act of mercy for them. And I'm going to be okay. That's how Christians respond to sad things. Is we say it's sad, but yet God is with me and I'm going to be okay. Okay? All right. So now with that, if you found yourself in a situation where, well, we scattered ashes, what happens? Well, just repent and pray for the best. I didn't mean that to be funny, but okay. I mean, it's not like God's going to strike you down because you did something wrong. I'm informing you of what to do now, right? If we've sinned in the past, we just get forgiven. So, okay, but sorry. So we hope for the past. But also, sometimes people, okay, I do have grandma on the counter, or she is in the closet. What do I do? So you just simply bury them, okay? Go to any funeral home, you can bury them. And there's actually a really cool opportunity for free at Mount Olivet, the Catholic cemetery, which is near here, on November 1st, All Saints Day. They're having a free service where anyone who wants to bring any ashes in whatever containers, and they will give them a good burial for free, okay? Because sometimes people say, oh, it's too expensive to bury them, whatever. So, all right, we'll get over that. So, and I already know some people who are saying, yeah, you know what, it just, the circumstances, that you know, we maybe had them for, it just, whatever it is, even if it wasn't bad intentions, it's just, hey, all of a sudden we still have these ashes, what do we do with them? And so anyway, so please, either for yourself or tell other people that November 1st at Mount Olivet, there is a great free service that they'll bury the dead, right? Catholic, non-Catholic, whatever. Okay. And again, that's even, Mount Olivet does this a lot because they say the airport finds ashes all the time and they send them there. Hotels are always finding ashes and they send them to the cemetery. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the pagan world they don't know what to do. So I'm letting you know, here's what we do. Okay, here's what we do. Okay, all right. And especially the older folks, if you're getting close to death, make sure you're instructing your children, even if they've gotten away from the church. Instruct your children, hey, I want a real burial, and I want it done as soon as possible with the funeral. Ideally the same day as the funeral, but as soon as possible. Don't divide me up. Don't put me into weird jewelry. You need to educate your kids too and put that even in your will if you need to. So that you can have the right, but especially a Catholic funeral. That's the most important part, so Catholic funeral. Okay, all right. Okay, you guys get the idea? You got it? All right, that was longer than I meant. Now we'll just do the third topic real quick, okay? Halloween versus All Saints. Halloween versus All Saints. So hopefully this is good news, but it also might scare you a little bit, which is fine. So first, John 10:10, right? The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus comes that we may have life and have it to the fullest. Okay? It's John 10:10. All right. So sometimes we have Catholic holidays and they get hijacked by secular culture. It just happens. It's a sad reality. Mardi Gras is a good example of that, right? Mardi Gras is supposed to be, hey, a bunch of Catholics, we're having some extra fun food because we're going to give up this food for Lent. And that's what Mardi Gras is supposed to be. But what is Mardi Gras known as in New Orleans, right? It's a crazy, pagan, demonic, horrible witchcraft, fornication, drunkenness, drugs. So our holidays get hijacked, okay? It's a sad thing, so we need to deal with that. Now, Halloween is one of those examples. There's a Catholic holiday called All Saints Day. All saints, all the saints in heaven, November 1st, it's a holy day of obligation most of the time, and it's a great, we celebrate everybody who's heaven, the famous ones and even the ones that aren't famous. We celebrate, wonderful, wonderful. And it's so important, we even have the night before, we even have a mass, it's so great, okay? Awesome. But unfortunately, in this culture, it got hijacked in something called Halloween, which now is the exact opposite of anything Christian, right? It's demonic, it's all about evil, it's all about just dark, horrible images and scary things about death, okay? So what do we do? So first, we reject the glamour of evil, right? This is in our baptismal promises. This is the older English translation. Do you reject the devil? Yes. Do you reject the glamour of evil? Yes. That's part of our being baptized. So we always reject the glamour of evil, okay? And Halloween is basically, in most instances, the glamour of evil, right? It looks strong. It looks powerful. It looks scary. It looks tough. Ooh, that's the glamour of evil. We renounce it because we're people of the light, not people of the dark, not people of death. All right, so we reject that. All right, and also we do not entertain ourselves with evil, okay? We're people of the light, we're people of joy, we're people of peace, so we don't entertain ourselves by being involved in evil. So here's just five things real quick. So number one, no horror movies or haunted houses, okay? We don't do that. We don't enjoy watching horrible people murder people. That's not what Christians do. We don't entertain ourselves with scary movies or horror movies or haunted houses, okay? And by the way, our children have enough trauma and enough anxiety, they don't need any more, right? And that's what those scary things are supposed to do, to traumatize them and to give them fear and anxiety. They don't need any more of that, so we avoid it, okay? All right, number two, no dressing up as evil things. Okay, now we'll get to what you can dress up as, but don't dress up as evil things. Don't dress up as witches and demons and murderers and evil, horrible people. Okay, all right. Number three, this is more for the older folks. Costumes must be modest, not provocative. Does everyone understand what I'm saying without saying it? Thank you. Number four, what can we do? You can dress up like saints. It's All Saints Day. Dress up like your favorite saint. Have fun. You can have a party. You can do a lot of cool stuff. We got the trunk or treat that's going on. You know, we're coming up soon. And you can have candy and you can eat caramel apples and you can do fun things. But you don't do it in demonic ways. So dress up like saints. And guys, even, you know, little boys, I know we love to be tough because we're made for strength, and that's fine. So if you want to be tough and gory, dress up like a martyred saint, you know? There's lots of saints that had their fingers cut off and their head cut off and they're filled with arrows and they're got swords in them. And I mean, if that's what you got to do, dress up like a holy saint who was martyred for their faith, okay? But you can also dress up like saints while they were still alive, okay? All right. And then with that too, it's okay to do the saints, but nothing blasphemous. So especially if you're older and you're going to go cause trouble, don't dress up like a saint, right? Don't dress up like Jesus. If you're going to go do bad stuff at a party, don't dress up like a saint, okay? But the little kids, it's great. Little kids, you can dress up like a saint and be sweet and holy, and that's fine. So, okay. And older people, if you're going to be behaved and at your party, you can dress up like a saint too, okay? All right, then number five, and this is so huge, I mean, it's hard to even summarize it here, but basically it's just we avoid all occult activity, right? Now, this is all the time, but especially around Halloween, there's so much of it. We avoid occult activity. So no Ouija boards, no tarot cards, no horoscopes, no spell casting, no magic, no Reiki, no Wicca, no mediums, no scary games, no things that call itself metaphysics these days, no witchcraft, no fortune tellers, no entertainment around murder, none of the New Age stuff, no dark themed activities, none of the occult stuff. We don't do that. For lots of reasons, but one of the main reasons is because there are real demons connected to those, and if you open the door and invite demons in, they will come into you. But Jesus saved your soul and delivered you from the dominion of darkness and has freed you from demonic activity, and you can be safe and protected in him by renouncing and rejecting demonic activity, or you can freely choose to open it in and have all kinds of demons infest you all the time, and then it takes a lot of work to get them out. So don't do that. Okay, and most people, all that stuff that I just mentioned, they think, oh, it doesn't matter, that's just kid stuff. No, it's not. There's real demonic stuff with that. And if you don't know anything about that, I want you to learn more about it, the reality of demons and the many ways that they influence you in the world. Now, I'm sure there's all kinds of fake stuff out there, but some of the good exorcists that are producing a lot of material, so Father Gabriel Amorth, Father Chad Ripperger does a good job, Father Stephen Rossetti does a good job, even some lay people, Charles Ferron and his Slaying Dragons series. There's lots of good, authentic Catholic material that you can find out, spiritual warfare, all those things, about literally the reality of all that stuff and how it affects you. And the best examples, honestly, are ex-Satanists, ex-Wiccans, ex-witches, ex-warlocks who've become Christian, come to the Catholic faith and said, hey, here's what we used to do to you guys all the time. And then they change in Christ and they say, okay, we're not going to do that. And they say, and Jesus set us free. And some of them get free pretty quickly, and some it takes years and years and years for them to get free. So I don't want that. I want just the good for you, right? I want just the good, wonderful, fun things for you guys. I don't want any of the dark, horrible, evil things to happen to you. So, again, no horror movies, no haunted houses, no dressing up as evil things, costumes, make sure they're modest. Feel free to dress up like saints, or at least something neutral. If you want to be a football player, that's pretty neutral, right, generally. But just nothing evil. And then avoid all the occult stuff, right? And again, if you think we don't live in a pagan world, Ouija boards are one of the most primary ways to be totally demonized. They sell that in the toy section at Target, right? That's how messed up our culture is. And we've got to open our eyes to the reality of it. So, all right. But, hey, Jesus has conquered. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the evil spirit. And so so we have a balanced approach to this so that we enjoy our life, but we also are protected and we're not foolish. Okay? All right. Well, that was a little longer than I planned, but that is okay. Good stuff. And I'm going to leave you with John 10:10. Remember? The thief, meaning the devil, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we don't imitate or entertain ourselves on any of that stuff. But Jesus came that we would have life and have it to the full or have it abundantly. So praise God for the goodness and the joy and go party like saints.